College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the quarterbacks. Last night, the quarterbacks were on the stage. Weird event. I mean, again, John, sum it up for those just tuning in, because I know a lot of people didn't say it. Just, I thought it was flat and stale and odd.
Well, it was 2 hours set aside for the Eagles and then the Chiefs, and the Eagles went first, and it just felt like, I don't know, we were subdued. We were very, buckled up, and Nick sort of set the example. He was, you know, we know the way he is. He keeps it close to the vest. Yeah. He's not going to give anything for anyone to take advantage of on the other side.
And I'm not asking him to. I thought the biggest problem was the
players were not giving answers that had interesting information in them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But here's my biggest problem with the event from an NFL standpoint. It was in an empty stadium.
No juice.
No juice. Like, if you have, look, you could have a small venue. You could have it at, like, the Palestra, so to speak. You could have a venue where there's 3,000 people, 5,000 people, which people, by the way, would come for that. And then if a player starts talking and say something, then the crowd, yeah, you start cheering. Like, and then the player might give you a little more because they're getting amped up by the crowd. There was none of that. It felt to me like a COVID. There's nobody in the stands. There were a few people, not many. You'll hear it here with Mahomes, especially when Mahomes is introduced. Let's get to it. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, they talked last night. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1, Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. Here are the quarterbacks when featured last night. First Hurts, then Mahomes, standing right next to each other.
Jalen, to you first. The Birds fans are here in the house, and they want to see this thing coming down Broad Street. How ready are you guys for Super Sunday?
We've just been taking it a day at a time. As everyone else has said, it's a great opportunity. Put a lot of work in, had these moments, and it's something you want to take advantage of.
I heard you said, I believe it was last week, you did an interview where you were quoted as saying, you knew from training camp that this was or could be a Super Bowl team. Why?
I think that's the mentality every year. Just when it all begins, you know, that's what you work for, to have these opportunities, and it's paid off to have what we have in front of us.
And I know you like this guy's game here next to you. I turn to Patrick Mahomes. The headline of this Super Bowl, can the Kansas City Chiefs go for an unprecedented three-peat? How are you guys able to put away all distractions and climb the mountain this many years in a row?
Yeah, I think it starts with Coach Reed. The way, the culture that he's built, we know it's a day-by-day process. And it's awesome to be in the Super Bowl, but we have to go put in the work every single day first. And I'm glad we're here, but it's going to be a great game. I'm excited for it.
There seemed to be a genuine moment of respect between you and the Eagles and you and your quarterback opposition here. Why is that?
I mean, I've seen him do it on the biggest stage. A guy that goes out there and puts it all on the line for his team. I think in both our football teams, it's great culture, it's great teams, a lot of great players that all want to win.
Ready to go?
I'm always ready.
Can't wait to see you guys take the field here on Sunday.
All right, Mahomes and Jalen. Put another way, I turn to Patrick Mahomes, and then like 12 people clap. I mean, like you know what I'm saying? Like,
really sad.
It was just an empty stadium.
I wonder if COVID changed at the way it was conducted, and then it just never changed back.
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember 22, but I remember 17 was at a fairly small venue.
Well, I know
with fans on both teams, and I thought it was really cool.
When I did it, it was not as desolate as that.
Well, they didn't have it. Remember, they had it with you in the afternoon, and it wasn't sort of this NFL Network orchestrated thing, which I think has become a cool feature. But, I mean, have some fans there so people can have some energy. Yeah. I thought the whole thing was weird. All right, let's listen to Roger Goodell. He had his annual press conference yesterday leading up to the Super Bowl. One of the many things he talked about were the referees. I don't know any Eagles fan that is not concerned about the refs leaning Mahomes' way. I think some people misconstrue it when they say that the NFL has it rigged. I don't think it's rigged. But I do think great players get calls more often.
Unconscious bias.
Yes. I think that's a fair way to put it. I agree with you. Goodell addressed it yesterday and tried to squash it. I don't totally buy it.
It's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something we always have to continue to work on. How do we make our officiating better?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's
rigged. Ridiculous, it's but it could be true. Ridiculous. Like, what was that? Like, it.
I hate that answer.
I don't like it at all.
It's awful.
And he gave a more detailed answer, but it was too long to play the whole thing.
Kelsey tried to squash it, too.
Say again?
Travis Kelsey tried to squash the whole thing, too.
Of course he did. Of course he did, because it favors his team.
You can't dismiss it.
And I'm not saying, look, here's what's ridiculous, okay? That the commissioner calls the head of the refs and says, hey, call the guy working that Eagles-Chiefs game and make sure he favors the Chiefs. Does that happen? No. Do I believe the referee in the moment has a lean toward Patrick Mahomes, similar, perhaps even more, though, than refs had a lean toward Michael Jordan, refs had a lean toward Larry Bird? I saw it with my own eyes. I've seen it with star players. Some guys get it. Some guys don't, by the way.
And we have a rule in the game called the Tom Brady rule now that was put in to prevent defensive players from hitting quarterbacks below the knees.
Well, that got Randall also.
When they're in the pocket.
Yeah.
Right, but they put in a rule when Adam Brady in the first game of the season. They're like, oh, can't have this anymore.
They didn't make a rule about it.
Well, they changed the rule.
They didn't change the playbook like they did for Tom Brady.
But they changed the rule on the horse collar after T.O. got brought down. So we can't have it, you know.
Well, that's because he's a star player. That's the point.
Okay. That's fair.
The human factor is something you can never rule out. I noticed it even when I played. Certain pitchers I'd catch, and you would get certain pitches, and then another guy would come in, and you get even more pitches. Yeah. It's just the way human nature is. It's just the way it is.
Well, I agree with you, Ben. Look, here's the one thing, and I said this last week. I'll reiterate it again right now. I believe all this chatter could benefit the Eagles in 5 days.
100%.
You
Joe,
do believe that, right?
1,000%.
I think the ref will be less inclined to throw that flag because he knows it's become a thing and it may swing to the Eagles' favor.
I absolutely think it's a thing. I think it will. So
that's great.
And this official, because you know I'm obsessed, Tobert, I think his name is, he lets them play more physical. Like his crews, now he's got a different crew because it's an all-star crew that they use in the Super Bowl. But during the season, his crew threw a lot of flags. They were flag heavy. When he refs in the playoffs, he lets them play physical.
Okay.
So.
And that's Jalen Carter. It's also Chris Jones, by the way. All right. So there's a lot about the game to break down. One of the fascinating elements, obviously, is Sirianni versus Andy Reid again. They have met each other a couple times across the sideline as coaches. Sirianni got him last year. Andy obviously got him in the one that really mattered, 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. You may remember Andy Reid famously, well, it wasn't famous at the time, but it became famous since then, fired Nick Sirianni. When Andy got the job in KC, he showed Nick the door as a young assistant as Andy took over, you know, over 10 years ago now in Kansas City. We talked to Nick Sirianni last week about his relationship with Andy Reid. Let's hear that exchange. I'm just curious, how often do you and Andy cross paths, interact? Is it literally just when it's my team versus your team, or are there other times during a year where you guys have some kind of communication?
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy, so you know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win, but you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my, you know, my other mentors that I reach out to and, but man, looking at watching Coach Reid, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously he's one of the best, you know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever, as I look at it, as I study it. So, a lot of respect there. You know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information to each other, or, you know, I don't know if I have any information to give him, but I know I'd get a lot from him. So, no, I just can't tell you how much respect I have for him and just the, you know, his the way he leads a football team, you know, his offensive mind, and just total respect of everything that he's done in his career.
All right, that's Nick Sirianni with us last week. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up an awful lot. What Sirianni and Andy said standing right next to each other last night as the event was going on. Plus, Jalen Hurts with a funny comment last night.
I was surprised at how small Andy was compared to Nick. Nick's
tall,
large.
Man. Nick's taller than you think. He's
I
like
did not
six two
think
or something
Andy
like that.
Is
yeah.
shrunk.
Really?
And Nick must be like 6'4".
Nick's 6'3" or 6'2" or something like that. I think. Yeah. Elliot's always told me he's like Nick's way bigger.
Oh
than
my
you
gosh!
He is. Yeah.
He's so much bigger than I thought.
Didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. He's a Ben Davis then. I mean, Ben's a... yeah. Ben, you are a granite.
Oh, thank you.
You're
that
welcome.
Is really weird.
You're welcome.
You going to start asking him if he modeled weird. Or anything?
I'll just say this. They didn't change the rule and catchers couldn't be run into in baseball when Ben Davis played because they weren't worried about catchers when Ben Davis played.
No, they were not.
They were worried about the guys running into him. You know what
That's
I'm saying?
That's right. All right. Also up ahead, Carson Wentz last night, pressed by Elliott on his Eagles experience. It was fascinating. And Elliot joins us as well. All right, on a great Tuesday morning, we got a little bit of warmth out there also, which is good. And 5 days to the Super Bowl. Saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl 7 years ago. Gonna see the Eagles win the Super Bowl in 5 days. Yeah, hey, Seltzer. Yeah, thank you. Do your freaking job. Do your damn job.
Wow.
I mean, my God.
It's a bold statement. I liked
it.
You know.
That's if they do.
It was bold.
That's if they do. That's if they do. You know this, James. The Eagles have never lost a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz sitting on the bench.
Oh, I like that. It's true.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good point.
I saw it on social media.
Still good.
I can't credit who said it first, but it wasn't me. Trust me. All right, Carson weighing in on his Eagles tenure. We'll get to that shortly, plus Elliot Shore Parks in a moment from down there in the Big Easy. Let's talk to Seth in media right now. Seth, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. Thanks for getting me in so quick.
You got
to play. Listen, man, I was listening to some of that stuff from last night, the interviews and whatnot, and I got this really eerie feeling. The same that was kind of going around when we played them a couple years ago, where everybody was saying, you know, the brothers are playing each other in the Super Bowl. What a nice Super Bowl. It's everybody's like, both teams have so much respect for each other. Screw that, man. I need violence. I'm over this.
I agree.
I'm over it.
Hey,
I'm
the team is saying the same thing behind closed doors, Seth. I'm positive. Landon Dickerson, from after seeing him get the team charged up, I forget, maybe it was the wild card round.
A couple games he's done it where we've seen it. Yeah.
Two games back, three games back, when he chose violence.
I love that.
That was an awesome pregame speech. And I do think they take that attitude week after week because that's the way they play.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping because listening to, Patrick Mahomes talk about, they got so many good guys. Don't give me that. Don't give me that, man. I mean, I know they're doing it for the press, but as a fan at this point, man, the only thing that's going to calm my nerves is hearing these guys get so hyped that they're ready to run through a damn wall.
Seth, I love your call, man. I do. Give me a great moment in sports history in the playoffs, not involving a Philly team.
Oh, man. It's got to be in the playoffs. Well, the only thing that keeps coming to mind, I'm not even sure if it's playoffs, but growing up, man, I always thought it was hilarious, the bickering and the feud that went on between the Philly Fanatic and Tommy Lasorda.
All right, Seth, that's a horrendous answer.
Horrible.
Really is.
But, I mean, he could have said Michael Jordan.
Easy.
He could have said Michael Jordan in the last 45 seconds of his career until he came back with the Wizards. I mean, he literally goes to the hole for a two, steals the ball from Karl Malone, beats Byron Russell, Brian Russell, whatever the hell that, and then it's like, all right, I'm done, checks out. And instead he says, and I love the Fanatic and the sort of thing, but that's what I got? Come on. And nonsense. All right, Elliot's going to join us shortly. But prior to that, what Carson Wentz and Elliot talked about last night about Carson's tenure with the Eagles, we get to that coming up in 1 minute.
Celebrate your love this Valentine's Day with the most romantic and timeless gift of all, a piece of exquisite jewelry from my friends at Benari Jewelers. Need some ideas? No problem. How about classic diamond earrings, a stunning diamond bracelet, an elegant diamond pendant, or a sophisticated diamond eternity band? Here's another great idea. How about a piece from their huge David Yurman collection? Benari is proud to offer the largest David Yurman selection in Greater Philadelphia. From cable and chain bracelets to pendants with eye-catching precious colored stones, you can never go wrong with a new piece for her from the David Yurman collection. And if you're proposing this Valentine's, the experts at Benari are here to guide you in finding the most flawless diamond and the most gorgeous ring at a value that will blow you away. Lots of choices, and the staff at Benari will make it so easy to find the perfect gift to celebrate Valentine's Day. Drop by one of their locations today, Newtown Square and Exton.
All right, one other thing I got to get off my chest. I meant to say this earlier. Let me just say it now. I can't believe how many people on social media yesterday were talking about, should the Eagles go get Myles Garrett, who wants out of Cleveland? I don't give a damn. I'll deal with that in a week, win or lose.
One of them was Elliott Shore Park.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
I could not believe there. 5 days now, 6 days yesterday to a Super Bowl. Should the Eagles get Myles Garrett? Who cares?
Myles Garrett's incredible.
I don't care if Prime Lawrence Taylor's available. I'll deal with it next week.
He makes us.
My God, they're about to play in the Super Bowl.
Amen, Joe.
I mean, should I trade this guy and that guy in a first-round pick?
Unless he can play on Sunday, I don't care.
I'll talk about that in a week or two.
I would like LT.
I'd like
Prime LT.
Hey, I'll sign LT.
Just for the record.
I'll sign him right now for Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
It does bring an interesting question, though. Like, I've never thought about that concept. Myles Garrett, if he, I don't know, somehow gets traded or joins our
Yeah, well, it's possible, but can we deal with it next week?
Let's worry about it next week.
Kind of busy right now, John.
I don't want to worry about it. Maybe I should trade Nolan Smith.
A couple things to do first.
Maybe I should trade Nolan Smith for Myles Garrett. Oh, let me watch Nolan Smith Sunday, and then I'll tell you next week. All right, let's listen to Carson Wentz. He is yesterday's news, unless he gets into this game, which he could. Elliot did a tremendous job, and Elliot's going to join us in just a moment. Tremendous job by Elliot. I'm honest to God, maybe the first person to really finally, get Carson Wentz on the record about his tenure in Philadelphia, at least to an extent. Here is Elliott and Carson yesterday.
Think about your time in Philadelphia.
Yeah, obviously it was a tough ending, without a doubt. I mean, it was a COVID year, too, so everything about it was just weird the way it kind of unfolded. But a lot of great memories. You know, for me, it was buying my first house, you know, getting married, all sorts of things. Life, had my first kid when we lived in the country. So a lot of great memories, a lot of good times. You know, winning the Super Bowl was amazing. A lot of memories and friendships that I'll have the rest of my life. So there's definitely no hard feelings. You know, you wish you would have went a different way, all those things, but you can't really kind of have any regrets on that front.
What's crazy is it's been almost 10 years since 2017. Do you ever think about the reunion for that team, seeing all those old guys? Like, is that something you would come back for to celebrate?
Yeah, it's crazy that things have been that long, I'm not going to lie. But, while I'm still playing, I don't think about all those reunion things. I'm sure that day will come. But, like I said, a lot of great friends and relationships I'll cherish for the rest of my life from that team.
That was the money question from Elliot. You're coming back for the reunion. Now, I'll say this in Carson's defense. He doesn't know if he's going to be an active player in 3 years or not. So it makes it a little complicated if the Eagles do the reunion during the season. However,
Carson gave him this.
We'll see what happens. Exactly. He did not. I'll say this. He didn't. Carson did not exactly give a Mark Zumoff.
Yes! Oh, yes!
He could have said, absolutely. No, the first chance I get to be around those guys.
I'm already looking
there.
Forward to it, man. Yeah, it's going to be so cool. What a moment.
Yeah, he sure did not go there.
I really did think that might be his answer. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, when is it?
Elliot did a great job.
But that's not what he said.
No, he didn't. By the way, one more thing from Carson, and then right to Elliot, who's ready to roll. Look, fascinating. Foles had been here. Jalen was here year one with Carson, obviously. Let's listen more of Carson and Elliot talking about those two quarterbacks.
You ever talk to Nick Foles at all?
Yeah.
How's your relationship with him?
Nick's great. I love Nick. We still reach out to each other the last couple of years. One of the better teammates I've ever had, without a doubt. The way that all unfolded that year is still pretty magical for him. And still a great friendship there.
You shared a locker room with Jalen for a year, Jalen Hurts. Now that you've seen the success he has, I'm just curious, what do you remember about him early in his career? Did you see he had this in him?
Yeah, no, I thought, you know, the moment he got there, he looked good, honestly. I thought he threw the ball well, and he just kind of put his nose down and went to work. And it was also the COVID year, so building a relationship with guys was extremely tough, you know, just all rookies in general. So all of that kind of just was weird and awkward, but I do think from the start you can tell he had good competitiveness and, you know, he could throw the ball pretty well, and everybody knew he was an athlete coming in, so I think all those things, you know, you never know kind of how it all pan out, but I think I was impressed from the start.
Really well done by Elliot, drilling down with Carson right there. For more from Elliot from New Orleans, as we are now 5 days away from kickoff, 5.5 days, if you will. Elliott Shore Parks brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliot, good job, bud. That was really well done.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And it was good to hear from Carson. You know, I feel like since Philly, he's been with the Colts and, you know, all the teams he's been with, This feels like the first time I really got a chance to like talk to him about it and catch up about it. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear what he had to say.
How was he different? How could you perceive him in a different way?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so the times I've been around Carson, like since it ended in Philly, and frankly, like he said, it was the COVID year, the last time he was here, so I wasn't even really around him that much that year. But just my perception is, I thought he seemed in a much better place just from the last time I had spoken to him to the time, you know, you see him when he was with Washington and, you know, post-game press conferences there. He seemed in a good place. He came out. He remembered everybody. He, you know, he seemed ready and prepared to talk about it. Like, I had thought maybe he would try to avoid it or, you know, be like, oh, I'm with the Chiefs. I'm not talking about that. But he attacked everything head on and he talked about it. And, I think he seemed in a good place about it.
Did he seem humbled in any way?
I don't know if I would use the word humbled in my, I don't think he seemed humbled. You know, my biggest takeaway is I think he seemed at peace with it, which I actually am happy for him for that, because I'm sure that there will always be some unresolved issues with him about how it ended and the Super Bowl, like all that. But when, you know, you hear him talk about the 10-year anniversary or talk about Nick, like, I do hope he's able at one point, and it sounds like he's there, to look back at his time in Philly, you know, without just complete regret and anger about
it. I agree with you.
And it does sound like maybe he's either there or on the way to that, and that's good to see.
Did his attitude toward you, you said that he seemed like he recognized you, and did it feel like he was friendly toward you? His attitude, what was it?
Yeah, he was very friendly towards everyone that was around. I mean, it was me and two other reporters that were around. And yeah, he was very friendly. You know, again, you could tell that he knew this was coming. You know, like literally the minute he walked out, I was there waiting with another reporter. So I think he knew it was coming and he was ready for it. And like I said, I give him credit. Like, he very easily could have said, hey, I'm with the Chiefs now. Like, you know, I'm not talking about it. Like, hey, I'm focused on this game. And he didn't. Like, and I'll also say to add a little more context, he probably stood there for 25 minutes after I was done and, like, kept answering the same question again and again and again from all the reporters. So he definitely, I thought, had a really good attitude about talking.
Makes
about
sense. Yeah.
That is interesting. That's interesting. But remember, there's nowhere else for him to go. Like, it is a moment he's there for that hour.
It's like sanctions. Yeah. And it is what it is. Yeah.
He could have just been like, I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, he could have.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, Ellie, let's get to some other stuff. There's a lot to do. Let me start with this. So you probably know this from texts from friends and social media reaction. For many of us who viewed it on TV last night, many of us found it very flat, very odd, massive stadium, limited crowd, really poorly done by the NFL. Did you get any sense of that in the moment on the ground or not?
Yeah, so that was, I think, my sixth media night I've gone to, and I think it was by far the worst one. Like, it was, to your point, it had no energy, I felt. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that there's this perception sometimes that media night is like, oh, there's all these wacky reporters, and, like, all these, and it was early on. Like, the first two or three I went to, I remember thinking that. I don't know if the NFL has tried to shut down on them, like, people doing that, but it's just, it's not the event it once was. Like, it was super, super crowded. It was hard to talk to players. There weren't, in my opinion, very, like, any funny or crazy questions asked, really. Like, there were a few, but considering each sat there for an hour, I agree. Like, my takeaway from last night was it has definitely become, like, a made-for-TV event, which is fine. Like,
COVID do this? No,
well, but a poorly one. I mean, Elliot, we couldn't even hear the questions.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
We couldn't hear the questions watching the NFL Network. Now, think about that. That's not even made for TV.
I don't know who it was made for.
That's ill-conceived. Yeah. I mean,
pass the mic.
I mean, have a mic.
Yeah.
Have a mic.
I agree. Like, I was literally there, and I probably couldn't tell you, like, 10% of what most of the players said. Because even if you're right there at the podium, it's like, you know, 50 reporters yelling questions. You can't really hear what he's answering.
Yeah, it was so stupid. All right, Elliot, let's get to some highlights. Carson being one of them. But what else? Yeah. And I know you couldn't be in every spot when everybody's answering questions. It's impossible. You're not General Zod at the end of Superman 2. And Richie, you get that reference.
But Zod.
What did stand out to you, Elliot? What was notable last night? Some Lori stuff and otherwise. What hit you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Jeffrey Lurie, especially for us, you know, in Philadelphia, because Jeffrey really at this point only talks once a year if they're not in the Super Bowl. He talks at the owners' meetings, and that's it. So he was there for a full hour last night, and he talked about some, like, really interesting things. Like, he talked about, you know, Nick and the contract extension. He didn't say outright it's going to happen, but it sounds like it's going to happen this offseason, so that's noteworthy. You know, he talked about the potentially a new stadium and whether he would put a dome on the stadium. Like, so I thought Jeffrey talking was most, he talked about Nick and the emotions, and he actually had a really interesting line where he said, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, you know, Nick's emotions can be his great, like, can be a strength and a weakness. And I thought that was an interesting way for him to phrase
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very interesting. So are the players and coaches using the underdog status as motivation? Are they using it as anything to this point? Is that something that's not even thought of?
I don't get the sense that they're using it. You know, we'll get a chance to be with the players in a less chaotic setting today. So, you know, that's a good question to see if that's something they're attaching onto. But honestly, the sense I've gotten all year from this team is, like, they are just so singularly focused on winning the Super Bowl. And I know that sounds cliche, but that's just not the case for every team I've been around. Like, so while they might be underdogs in this game, and they are, they're the point and a half underdogs, I just don't think they care. I think they view this as, like, we've been working literally all year, or 2 years really, for this moment, and we're here. Like, I don't know if outside noise is going to impact, like, their focus very much or their motivation.
That feels like confidence to you? Because you can compare what they were like prior to 57 at the media night and what they were like, you know, prior to 59 at media night. And so if you had one, if you, your takeaway from last night, if you had to compare the two nights, our team's attitude at this one compared to the 57 media night was what?
Yeah. So I don't know if I would say, like, last night in particular, but in general and last night, like, every single time they get asked about almost anything, it's, you know, we're just focused on this game. We're only doing it for this game. And that's not just been last night. That's been throughout the season. So when I think about Super Bowl 57, obviously they were focused. I'm not saying that. But I felt like that was more of a, hey, we're here. We did it. No one said we could. Like, it was like a bit of a celebration. And I kind of think, you know, not 57, but, you know, the last two, I thought that was kind of the view, I thought. But, like, this team all season has literally been like, we are doing this for one singular reason, to win the Super Bowl. So that was, I thought, also from what I heard last night and just talking to the players over the past week, that's definitely, like, the vibe they have.
Elliot Shore Parks with us from New Orleans, obviously, where he's on the scene all week. Elliot, you know, you did something in recent days I commend you for. I haven't had the guts to do it. And that's go back and watch Super Bowl 57.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's an exercise in there.
Yeah.
Take the audience through what stood out to you from that Eagles Super Bowl loss that they seemingly had until they dropped it. And I'm not, you know, crushing Jalen. I don't mean to say that metaphorically, Jalen, but that was a factor. But they had the game until they didn't. What stood out to you that could tie into Super Bowl 59?
You know, honestly, I know people won't go back and rewatch it, so it's pointless to say. But I promise everyone out there, if you go back and rewatch it, you will feel more confident about this Super Bowl. Because I think it gets a little forgotten how they dominated that first half. They could have easily been up like 28-7, 31-7 if things go a little bit differently. And then the second half, which is maybe where people will want to turn it off, is like they just completely collapsed. Like, we view it as a defensive failure, and it was. But, like, obviously the special teams, the offense had the three and out, like, you know, not kicking, going for the touchdown instead of the field goal. So that all matters. But we just don't see that from this team anymore. And so when I watched the first half, and I also rewatched it when they beat the Chiefs last year, they've played this team for eight quarters in the past few years. And I think you could argue they have outplayed them in the majority of those quarters. So, you know, I don't know how much it super matters for this upcoming game. But definitely, when I rewatched those two, they have outplayed the Chiefs, you know, and I think that it made me feel better about their chances.
So here's one thing I'll say, Elliot, because I vividly remember the Eagles clearly outplayed the Chiefs for good portions of the game. However, a huge part of why the Chiefs won is a huge part of why they always win. Mahomes. I mean, we can talk all and read. We can talk all we want about how the Eagles spit it up, and they did, and then there were weird factors like the field and the flag and all that. But, you know, Mahomes and Reed do what they do. They found a way to dissect you over the course of a game, and Mahomes made plays in the clutch that won his team the game and the Super Bowl. And that is still directly. I mean, Elliot, let me put it this way. That's why we have, and let me present to you the Twitter poll question of the day today. I'm fascinated to know which side of this you would vote for. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. That's why, to me, Elliot, a fascinating question approaching Sunday is this. Which unit has the greater advantage in Super Bowl 59? Is it A, Mahomes with Kansas City's offense, with obviously Andy Reid, or B, the Eagles' defense? Which unit has the bigger advantage?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think the premise of what you're saying is correct. Like, you have to say Mahomes. He's, you know, arguably the best.
You don't have to, though. Well, you don't have to.
No, well, but the thing I would say, too, when you talk about why they lost that last Super Bowl, like, yes, Mahomes was obviously a big part of it. But when you rewatch it, like, Mahomes is not on the field for every play of that football game. Like, the special teams mistake basically gifted Kansas City a touchdown. The flag at the end of the game, like, if they don't throw that flag, the defense gets a stop there, essentially, and the Eagles get the ball back. So that is the thing I feel most going into this game. Like, we'll all make predictions. I'm sure we'll all pick the Eagles. But, like, ultimately, this is going to come down to two plays, probably, and whether or not the Eagles get a break on that play. And so Mahomes is awesome, but as awesome as he was in that Super Bowl, if the special teams doesn't give up that huge return and they don't throw that flag, like, it could have very easily been a game the Eagles won.
Elliot, we know that the two teams practice in different facilities. Who's practicing where and who gets the nicer facility? Because that's always like a point of comparison.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing to your point, like, they're all out of their elements this week. You know, it's the biggest game of their life, and, like, they are all, like, everything they're used to doing during the week. Like,
no home field.
Exactly. So the Eagles are practicing at the Saints facility. The Chiefs are practicing at Tulane.
You got the advantage. That sounds like we have that advantage. The pro facility sounds like it's going to be nicer than the Tulane facility.
Is that because they're the home team, Elliot?
I think that's why. But honestly, like, the Saints don't really have, like, a nice stadium. So I've seen videos of their facility. I'd be curious to see. My guess is the NovaCare is way nicer than the place that they're doing it right now. But, that's where they are. They were lifting yesterday. I think they don't practice till Wednesday, so they'll probably do more team meetings today.
Sure. That makes sense.
Elliot, wonderful report, my man. Enjoy today. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you quite a bit this week. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, Elliot Shure-Parks. He's a damn good reporter. He really is. And he really did get Carson on the record there. I mean, Ben, that was cool to finally hear Carson just not totally open up, but gave, you know, he opened the door a decent amount.
He seemed authentic.
He did.
He seemed authentic.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Which was something people thought he often wasn't.
Yeah, I think he's been humbled by his throughout the course of his career. And it, you know, it's refreshing to hear. I mean, he obviously was a big part of that 2017.
Of course,
team.
He was
huge part.
He should get a huge ovation whenever that reunion happens.
He should.
You know, what's the weird thing, Ben? I don't know if you thought about this. So Foles, who of course we cherish for all the obvious reasons, he wins that game for the Eagles. You know, wins the Minnesota game, wins the Super Bowl, and he's hero Nick Foles. Andy Reid helped rehabilitate him the prior year when Nick Foles was a backup in Kansas City, barely played, but was back up to Alex Smith in 2016. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz has had a year under Andy Reid. I mean, obviously, John, I'd like to see Patrick Mahomes not finish this game. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it is noteworthy that it's not like Carson for the last 9 months has been, you know, dealing with a high school quarterback's coach around here.
Right.
Who's a 28-year-old guy that, you know, won a couple high school football games around here. He's been coached by Andy Reid.
If he's
for the last 9 months,
you would think that he's, rehabilitating in a lot of ways.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, and I know he didn't play well in that final game of the season, but you get my point. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Ken and Cinnamon Instant right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
I was listening to you last week from the middle of Frozen Lake in northern Minnesota.
Nice.
Were you fishing? You catch some walleye?
Didn't catch any walleye. Caught northern pike and some crappies.
Ooh,
and
how big were the pike?
You know what? I didn't even measure it. Nobody's going to eat it. So
were they big
back.
Enough to be scary? Were they big enough to be slimy?
Yeah, do me a favor. Let's talk about the Eagles. What do you got, Ken?
Listen, so, first of all, on this game, look, I felt all along going into the Washington game that they were going to roll that team. I've never seen a team that seems more locked in my life and more business-like about what they're here to do, which is win this game on Sunday. And I don't feel like I'm being overconfident or Pollyanna or overlooking anybody to say that in my gut, I really think they're going to smoke this team.
I'll be shocked if that happens. I'll truly be shocked.
I felt like, man, we're so good. There's no chance that we don't smoke whoever we go and play in this Super Bowl. And then every day that passes, it's just impossible to not see the truth of the matter.
Which is what, John?
That coaching staff, that quarterback, it's
theirs.
Just theirs, yeah. On that side. Like, I think we all underestimate how good they can be just because we know what we want to see.
I agree with John.
Our team, I think our team's better than the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't think it's easy to be better than the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think it's close. I think it's going to be closer than we want it to be.
Here's what I'll say to your comment. And look, it's possible, okay, obviously, but I just want you to imagine this scenario. Michael Jordan plays for the other team, and Pat Riley coaches the other team. Do you still think the Eagles are going to crush him? Because I think that's what we've got. I think Mahomes is Jordan, and I think Andy Reid's
like
and all.
John Wooden is
John Wooden. Yeah, okay, John Wooden. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. They just seem so locked in. And look, I'm hoping, other than hoping that I'm right. I'm just hoping, obviously hoping that I'm right about Sunday.
Sure.
I'm hoping that after Sunday, even if they win by a point at the final gun.
Yep.
That next week. We're appreciating the fact, and we stopped talking about, you know, our head coach as a liability in this city, because at some point the guy's got to get credit for what he's done.
Well, you know my thing, Ken. I'd like to see them lift him up if they win the title. And I told Brandon Graham, please do it, and we'll see if they do.
Brandon, with that arm.
By the way, I got to...
Yeah, you know, if it's his last game, yeah,
I got to tell you this. In the event that Nick gets lifted up, which would be a great visual,
you're
and he deserves it.
You're taking credit for it?
No, you know who's going to get credit? Oh. Jack Fritz.
Nah, I don't like this anymore.
You get it, Seltzer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Richie gets
God,
it.
Now I get
Trey
it.
Trey Turner, mm-hmm. somehow.
I see.
Somehow
I got
Jack
you.
Fritz.
I got you.
Like, what is that?
It's amazing. In New Orleans.
Then there's a Netflix thing, and like I'm not even mentioning that. I mean,
well, for what it's worth, neither's Jack.
But where's the hammer here? I mean, Ben, I'm just asking for a little love. I mean, my God. I mean, you know.
The hammer!
All right, Ken, you get my point. Ken, give me an answer.
I do get your point. The last thing I'll say is Jaws had the best quote that I've heard. Jaws had the best quote that I've heard a few weeks ago when the playoffs started. The Vince Lombardi Trophy weighs 7 pounds. It takes an entire team to lift it. And I think that's what we're going to see on Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. All right, give me the best non-Philly playoff moment ever.
Well, before there was Kirk Gibson, there was Pudge Fisk off the fair pole.
That's a big one, too. Big one as well. There's a couple, obviously, from baseball home run varieties. And Carlton Fisk, 75. Is a big one. All right, speaking of big ones, big game coming up in 5 days. The coaches, Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni, standing right next to each other, answering questions last night. You'll hear that audio coming up in 1 minute.
The lead dog, George Perrante, says that the Dogs and Cats Rule stores, they are all aboard the Birds Mania bandwagon. Your favorite neighborhood pet store has in-stock NFL-licensed Eagles jerseys in all sizes. My Chaney's got one. He's got a Hurts jersey. He'll be wearing that on Sunday. Plus, they've got bandanas, toys, collars, and leashes, as well as fresh baked birds-themed biscuits and a special savings on chicken and beef jerky. Because you can't leave your pets out of your big game party. Buy one, get one special on Philly cheesesteak jerky and Kansas City barbecue chicken jerky. Buy one pack, get the other for free. Make sure your pet's ready for the big game by stopping by your local Dogs and Cats Rule store and pick up a football cookie or two while you shop for their large premium selection of raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, dehydrated, air-dried food as well as traditional cans and kibble. Talk with one of their expert staff members. They can help you with all of your pet's nutritional needs. Dogs and Cats Rule, 7 neighborhood locations. Princeton and Pennington in New Jersey, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Help in Pennsylvania. Visit them online at dogsandcatsrule.pet. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family. Go Birds.
All right, so go Birds indeed on this Tuesday morning, getting ever closer to kickoff Sunday around 6:30. So it's obviously going to be Reed versus Sirianni again. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, Andy Reid, I think, had a huge role in the Chiefs winning that game. And I thought Nick coached a fine game with one exception. He should have gone for the fourth down in the fourth quarter when he punted the ball. Now, it turned into bad luck that it turns into the worst punt and worst punt coverage of the whole season.
Semi-bad luck. Also, their fault for having that punter as their punter.
Well, you're right. Know? You're right. Sipos, right? They should not. Yeah, Sipos. They should not have still had him on the roster. Yep. James, you were saying that the last half
whole
of the season.
Whole season, I felt I
know,
like, yeah.
I know. And I thought it was a mistake to punt it at 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3, something like that. With that said, it's an opportunity for Nick Sirianni to get his first ring. Let's hope he doesn't go 0-for-2. Nick and Andy standing right next to each other last night, interviewed on the NFL Network, part of the coverage, obviously the big night last night. Here's the whole thing.
I am here with the head coaches of both teams, your NFC champion Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and your AFC champion Chiefs, Mr. Andy Reid. Nick, I start with you. You guys were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This year, you start 2-2. You go to the bye week. You've been red hot. Only lost one game since. What clicked for this team at that point in the season?
You know, again, we were just trying to come together as a football team. You know, every game's its own obstacle. We started off 2-2, and then we just tried to play it one game at a time. Tried to get a little bit better each week, and here we are.
Different group from 2 years ago. A lot of holdovers, but some new faces. What makes this team unique from the one that we saw competing against Kansas City in 2023?
Yeah, every team, every year is a new team. Just got a lot of great guys, a lot of great players. I think what you see from our team is just a commitment to play for each other and play together. These guys love each other and just trying to get better as a football team each week.
Andy, you heard about Patrick saying all credit goes to Coach Reid. You guys have really built a culture here. What makes you proudest of this unit going here for the three-peat, the first team to ever get a chance to do that in Super Bowl history?
Listen, they're good human beings. That's the most important thing, and good football players. But most of all, I'm proud of them for just being good guys.
How about the respect you have for this Eagles team and what they could bring to the table? And it's not going to be an easy game on Sunday.
Listen, Nick's done a great job with these guys and the players. They've got tremendous talent, and they play their tails off. So, and all the way from ownership on down, they've got it together and well-deserved to be here.
Gentlemen, good luck on Sunday.
That's Andy and Nick last night. Let me ask you guys a question. Does the losing coach, within a day or two, text the winning coach congratulations?
Yes.
I think depends. So.
I tend to think so, too. Relationship, right?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just think if you don't have a relationship or there's bad blood in the past, I would say no.
They would make it hard.
Yeah.
I tend to think these guys would do it. I still think they would do it.
Yeah.
I would do it.
I would guess it happens 99% of the time.
I would say 100% of the time, these two.
Yeah.
These two for sure.
100%
do it.
Yeah, different.
Some guys, though.
Respect.
If Buddy Ryan had gotten to the Super Bowl, which he did not as a head coach, he won two as an assistant. One with the Jets in Super Bowl 3. And one with the Bears in Super Bowl 20 assistants, but he would not text.
No,
I don't think.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. Belichick, would he do it? I don't know.
That's a good question.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think he would. I think he would say.
I don't know. He has such a respect for the history of football.
He does
and all
have that,
you know.
I just don't think he can be a pain in the ass. Remember, he said snap. Oh,
remember
face
he texted, but he texted
stuff.
Brian Daboll and Brian Flores, and that whole thing got him in trouble.
Oh,
he's a texter. He texts every once in a while.
That's true. All right, so I thought one of the funnier moments last night came from Jalen Hurts. Cut up that he is cracking jokes. So Ben Davis asks a question to Jalen last night about Ben not being a very good looking guy. Now, this might not be Ben Davis, but some guy wanted some help with his looks, and Jalen actually gave him a funny response. Let's listen to this exchange.
How can I get more handsome? My girlfriend says I'm the most handsome quarterback in the league. Any advice, like something to do with my hair? I'm desperate, anything.
Man, I don't know if I can help you on that one. That sounds like a DNA thing.
Look at that. Look at Jalen. Penny saying you got bad DNA.
Who asked that question?
So bizarre.
Like, what? That's so off the wall.
Is Jalen especially handsome?
Yes, I think Jalen is especially handsome. He is a very handsome man.
Very good-looking guy.
It's so funny though. Yeah. And look, credit to Jalen for actually, you know, cracking a line right there.
Nice work by him.
I like that, man. Yeah. That was good. That was well done.
That was the best I've seen him up on a podium, I think, ever.
He did seem relaxed.
Yep.
In a really good way.
Which made me feel good.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, Ram.